American flag waving proudly, like it's saying goodbye at the dock to its husband flag.
Bless IED, we love IED. Bless IED, we love IED. Bless IED, we love IED. Bless IED, we love IED.
I'm staring at a plant. Ordinary house plant. Here's a yellowed leaf. Needs water. There's another dead leaf. Listen to it. Crispy. Pruning the house plant. It's in bad shape. It's suffered over these winter months in the dry northern climate. There's a little statuette of the Virgin Mary propped inside that plant. I believe it's called a pothos or pothos plant from Hawaii. Great bachelor plants, you wait till they droop and then you give them a glass of water, put them in the sink and they'll perk right up. That's my plant dangling down over my, it's like an $8 answering machine and it talks to you.
Number of range is 4. Announcement monitor is on. Number announced is on. Store number is off. Except locked calls is on. Message alert is off. The machine is off. 16 minutes to record.
That's fantastic. I just fell in love with my answering machine. It's on top of this. It's by my phone, my princess phone.
And this is Wonderland. Wonderland. Do you see all those palaces over there?
Yes.
Well, those are what we call song palaces. Palaces where all the good songs are kept. Songs to make us happy and gay, and songs to help us have a good time when we sing. Whenever we knock on a song palace door and the door opens, we hear a song that we all know.
Yeah.
Old King Cole was a merry old soul, and a merry old soul was he. He called for his pipe, and he called for his bowl, and he called for his fiddlers three.
I've done that, man.
Yeah.
Dusty!
Yes, Colonel Carl.
Bring me my pipe.
Do you want your pipe?
My bowl.
And your bowl.
My fiddler's three pieces.
Colonel Carl, we don't have a fiddler.
Silence, Dusty.
We don't have a fiddler's three.
Summon them, Dusty.
Summon them.
I tell you,
King George is not wise. He doesn't understand that we colonists are free men and have rights. I tell you, the colonists won't stand for it much longer.
Yeah.
Well, good evening, everybody. It's Clay Pigeon on the Dusty Show in Wisconsin, and thank you so much for your generous pledges during the recent FMU Marathon. I had so much fun on the air with Brian and Dorian and the professor and Ken and the people hanging around. I talked to Irene Trudell. Oh. The marathon map was really cool with the little green balloons and red balloons and people making comments. And see, where listeners are far flung out there in New Zealand and the Virgin Islands and Brazil, Hawaii, and then closer to home, just flags all over the United States and comments from people. And to see how much people out there like FMU, it was heartening. So let's get the show started. I have hardly anything for you. I really just shirked my duty completely during marathon as far as preparing it. And I should have came out of the gate strong tonight. This is a real bad move. So I grabbed a couple of interview subjects, and we'll just ping pong. And I want to play a few songs tonight too. I hope you'll hang out for the next hour. And thanks again for marathon. It was thrilling. And that was nice of you. Thank you. There's a few songs that have been sticking with me over the last week and a half or so. Some albums that I got out to play, kind of second tier favorites that I hadn't heard in a while. And usually I refile them, but these have been staying out in the living room, leaning against the speaker in the favorite position. The first of which is Stevie Wonder. And I don't know, was this the album that sort of marked the end of his heyday, The Secret Life of Plants?
I don't know.
It's a beautiful song. This is the title track, a nice composition from the great Stevie Wonder. This is The Secret Life of Plants on The Dusty Show.
I can't conceive the nucleus of all begins inside a tiny seed. And what we see as in significant provides the cure whose air we breathe. But who am I to doubt or question the inevitable being? A species smaller than the eye can see, or larger than most living things. And yet we take from it without consent our shelter, food, a bill of mint. But who am I to doubt or question the inevitable being? Thank you.
But if you ask yourself, where would you be without them? You will find and some believe antennas are the leaves that spans beyond our galaxy. They've been, they are, and probably will be on the mediocrity. But who am I to doubt or question the inevitable being? For these are but a few discoveries we find inside the secret life of
Young lady, how are you?
Good.
Do you want to say your first name?
Melissa.
Is that all right?
Yeah, it's okay.
Melissa, you charmed everyone in the Christmas episode of The Dusty Show.
That was fun.
Are you shyer now?
No, not at all, I promise.
You're not shy.
No, I've never been shy before.
How old are you?
18.
18, are you still in high school?
No, I already graduated like 2 months ago.
And you've got big plans.
Yep.
Is it going to happen?
Yeah, oh my gosh.
It's all set in stone.
This week's my last week. And
at work.
And at Wisconsin.
Really? You're
yep.
leaving mm-hmm. home?
Yep.
Are you living at home now?
Yeah, I am.
You have brothers and sisters?
Oh my gosh, yeah, I have a huge family. I have 5 brothers and sisters.
Are they younger or older?
3 of them are younger and 2 of them are older.
So the nest won't be empty for
no.
your parents, but
no.
still,
yeah.
they're like, are they getting sentimental? Or just
yeah.
kind of wound up and nervous?
Well, my mom is wound up because she likes to shop, and so she like goes out and gets all this, like she bought me a blender and like a tofu maker.
A blender? All the domestic?
Yes.
Are you going to have an apartment or live in a dorm?
Apartment.
Your own apartment.
Mm-hmm.
In where?
In Utah.
Where?
Utah, Provo, Utah.
Provo,
yep.
Utah, because you are a...
Mormon!
You're a Mormon woman. I was going to say girl, but you're 18 now. You're a Mormon woman and darn proud of it.
Darn proud, yep.
Now, do you ever hear... any persecution?
Oh my gosh,
people
yeah.
make fun of Mormons, don't they?
Yeah.
I hear it.
Yeah.
Where does it say you have volleyball game while Jew is working? Just pump the organ and hope the Mormons get to Utah.
Well, like, when people make fun of me, I don't take it seriously.
Do they make fun of you?
Oh yeah, well, they'll be like...
For example?
Well, she's not drinking because she's Mormon. And I'm like, yeah. So I don't take it personally because that's right. And if they say... like bad stuff about our religion, like the majority of the people that say bad things about Mormons are completely ignorant and don't even know what they're talking about.
Conversation in an Italian restaurant.
Kirk.
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
Now you gotta speak up. It's not in your nature. We're hovering over this pepperoni pizza on our lunch hour. So you broke up with her?
Yeah.
The ex now. Mm-hmm. How long did you go out?
3 months.
3 months? Are you choked up?
Not at all. Not even
Are
close.
You glad you broke
yes.
up? So how'd you break up?
You know, is the old... give her the cold shoulder for a while. Make sure she knows that you're growing distant. And wait for her to bring it up. You know, the real cowardly way to go about it.
Right.
She wanted to know what was going on, and I'm like, I just laid it out for her. It caught her really off guard, which surprised me, because my efforts to show her that I was gradually growing farther apart from her apparently had no effect.
So how did she take it?
Horribly.
I don't think I've misled you as far as my feelings for you are concerned.
I think you have.
Do you think you have made any attempt to keep you're a part of the bargain.
As much as you've permitted me to do.
But, like, they can't. Because in our actual church, if you practice polygamy, you're kicked out.
Yes.
So
does it happen?
Well,
because there's probably some old hardliners, aren't there?
Yeah. Oh, in Utah, there's cities where the police completely turn away from it, like turn their backs on people
really?
That have are polygamists.
Because they're Mormons.
Yeah.
All right, that's right. Okay.
Well,
what was the idea behind polygamy that...
It wasn't just that guys could have randomly a bunch of wives. It was because there were more men in the church, or there were more women in the church than there were men. And women who didn't have a husband to support their families were left in the cold because they couldn't work. And they had, you know, they might be widowed and stuff. So it would actually be almost like a calling from the church where you'd be asked to take on another family and another wife to support.
Whoa there! Well, here we are, Sari. Abe, Sally, I brought you a new ma and some brothers and sisters, too. Here, Sari, let me help you down.
Thank you.
This is your new home and family.
Well, I declare, y'all look as though you haven't had a bite to eat since Christmas. Think the best thing we better do now is get some victuals ready, and I'm sure everybody feel better. Come on now, everybody. There's work to do.
No.
Now, you're going to Brigham Young.
Yes.
Which is like the ultimate destination for a Mormon student.
Yeah.
Name of their team?
Oh, the Panthers? No.
I don't know. They have blue and white uniforms.
Cougars!
Right!
The Cougars.
Yeah.
Steve Young went to Brigham Young.
Yes, he did.
I think the quarterback, mm-hmm. Yeah. What other famous people went to Brigham Young?
Oh my gosh, I have no idea.
Who was Brigham Young?
I don't know.
Brigham Young was...
Your eyes lit up. You knew the answer, didn't you?
Okay, Joseph Smith, the one who, like, founded our church, kind of, who...
The Joseph Smith testimony.
Yeah.
In Connecticut.
Yeah.
Vermont.
He was born in Vermont, yep.
Northeastern. This is a young religion, and it's...
Mm-hmm.
And it's...
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting. Are you having a good time?
Yeah.
Why do you love it so much?
Because I know all the answers. And I like telling everybody about our church. Okay. So, Joseph Smith, he was this young boy, and his parents were trying to ask him what church he was going to join, and all the, you know, different ministers around the city were like, are you going to get baptized in our church, or you're going to die and go to hell because you're not baptized?
Wow.
And he's like, all right, well, I need to pick one, but I don't know which one. So he thinks about it, and he prays about it, and he opens the Bible, and in James, there's a chapter and verse where it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. So he's like, okay, so if I want an answer, all I have to do is ask. So he goes into the woods and prays, and, like, he just, all he had to do was just do what the verse said to do. And he prayed, and then his answer was, like, that Jesus and God came down and talked to him and told him that none of the churches that are in the church right now are true or have the full truthfulness of, like, religion, because after Jesus died and after all the apostles died, there was, like, the apostasy or whatever. And so the truth, like, the truthfulness of...
So my Presbyterians don't quite have it right.
Well, they just think that they have different pieces that are right, but...
You have the whole package.
Well, I'm not saying that you have the whole package. Well, I kind of am, but I'm just saying...
You dig it.
Yeah, I dig it.
You're happy. You dig it.
Yeah, I dig it.
You're happy. You dig it.
Yeah. I dig it.
You're happy. You probably can't hear it, but it's pouring outside. Oh, and it's lightning, too, and I heard thunder. There's a warm front coming in. Mother Nature doesn't like it. She's not ready to give up winter. She hasn't even begun to fight. There'll be another blizzard. For tonight, spring is trying to muscle in. It's a fight, nature on nature. One season unwillingly giving way to the next, trying to hold on with all her fury. Snow still on the ground, but now the lightning, the thunder. It's unusual, we all know that. Our weather's been unusual. Thunder. Long, rumbling, miles. Long thunder, and now the rain increases in ferocity. I'm not dramatizing this at all. Can you hear it? Let's go inside. I'm sometimes reticent to play a mainstream hit song on the Dusty Show, but some of them are just really good, like this one from Rat. Vocals of Stephen Piercy and the shredding of Warren DeMartini. I like it. This is Back for More, Rat on the Dusty Show.
Yeah.
I let it fade all the way out because Warren DeMartini was just ripping it up on that guitar. I mean, you know, we make fun of the shredders and the histrionics of it all, but if you've ever tried to play it on a guitar, it's not so easy. And Warren had it figured out. Let me grab Applejack here and try to do some hammer-ons. That's what they call those things. It's kind of a finger-tapping technique that the hairband players utilized, and it kind of came from Eddie Van Halen. He's the one who, well, at least popularized the style. Some say Alan Holdsworth may have done it, and it's probably been done for years, and no one cares unless you're a guitar player. But I have Applejack here, my travel guitar. And that's kind of the really bad finger tapping.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Now what are you doing? Now you're striking out, aren't you, on the single scene?
Yeah.
What's the matter? You're a good-looking young fella.
I think that women have a sense of who's looking for someone in, I don't want to say desperate, but yeah, it is desperation.
Do you have the smell of the wolf on you?
I'm just reeking of it.
One after another, never on the same note, never for the same length of time. All voices different, yet eternally unchanged. The wolf loves to howl. Listen.
What happens? It's because you say you talk to him.
Yeah, I do.
And you get numbers?
Yeah, but you know, they don't always mean to see you after they give
you
a number.
What's your theory on a woman giving you a number? You were running that by me the other day.
Oh, it's just a way to cop out of saying no outright, you know. It's just, with technology, you now have the ability to just blow somebody off.
How's that?
Well, that you can say, hey, how about I get your number? She says, okay. Gives you your phone number and your little cell phone. You call her later in the week. She doesn't have to answer.
She can tell who called.
Oh, yeah, it's just right on your display. You know, if she recognizes the number, she can check her voicemail, too.
And then you ran into her again.
I did.
What happened?
I probably should have talked to her, but...
Was she looking at you?
A couple times, yeah.
Friendly-like?
Yeah, kind of like...
And you were mad, weren't you?
I was spiteful. I went right over to the table next to her, and I hit on the girl standing next to her.
On purpose?
On purpose. Quite on purpose.
What happened when you hit on that girl?
The other girl? Everything went really well for a long time. Then at the end of the night, when I asked for a number, I got this face, like I just puked on her shoes. And that was the night I asked for a... But the girl who didn't call me back, real nice looking girl. Kind of a rocker chick.
What'd she look like?
Oh, she's kind of a punk rock chick, had a pop culture shirt on, you know, of a TV show that kind of obscure reference that I recognized, got the conversation going and all that. I wanna save my LaGuardia. Imagine mouthing the sun.
Just give me some smile. Yeah. Just give me some.
the time the evening was done because I was forced to dance.
No!
I hate dancing. The only way I can dance or get up the courage to do so...
Did you do the hitch dance with the arms at the 45-degree angle?
Oh, I was talking to myself in my head the whole time.
What were you saying in your head? Don't screw this up.
It's like 45-degree angle, move side to side. Rock your hips. Okay, what's she doing now?
Was she going wild dancing while you were being cool?
Being cool?
You were trying not to move too much or be...
Yeah, I was stiff as a board, like rotating like a...
Were you drunk too and scared still?
I was drunk, scared, and way out of my league.
Miss Todd, excuse me. I would like to dance with you in the worst way.
Why, Mr. Lincoln, I'd be delighted.
Abe swept Mary Todd around the dance floor. He stepped all over her feet, bumped into other couples, and held her hand up like a flagpole. Finally, the music stopped.
Mr. Lincoln, you said you wanted to dance with me in the worst way? You have accomplished that desire.
So you didn't get a call back?
No.
Well, I got a call on the dusty answering machine. It's back in service now after a brief hiatus during the marathon. If you'd like to call the Dusty Show answering machine, do it now. 201-521-1375. Again, 201-521-1375, like Andy did.
Hi, Clay. This is Andy from New Hampshire. I wanted to comment on the irony of Cheney's statement regarding the accidental shooting of his friend Harry Whittington. I'm talking specifically about him saying that shooting Whittington was the worst day of his life. Do you think that if Cheney believed this, and I hope he does, that he might now be thinking back on his administration's decision to send countless Americans overseas to pick up rifles and shoot other men on a daily basis? Maybe now Cheney has some insight to how these folks must feel. Just a thought. Love the show. Keep up the great work, Clay.
You say, how in the world you're going to balance the budget, increase defense budget at the same time? That's paradoxical. It cannot be done. It can be done very simply. All we need to do is drastically cut, if not totally eliminate, this blooming welfare program at home and abroad. And use those monies to intensify our defense development.
I think it was Shimon Peres who once said, "Don't deny people their dreams, just don't let them turn them into your nightmares."
I've been waiting to play this, and I think this would be a nice time. It's the beautiful voice of Mr. Ray Price in Lonely World on The Dusty Show.
Lonely world without you around me. Loneliness is all I can see. Empty hours stretch on till tomorrow. Lonely world, is there no one for me? Lonely world, there must be someone for me, someone with arms to hold me tenderly. City streets I walk down alone now. Broken dreams I have for company. quiet rooms that I spend my time in. Lonely world, is there no one for me? Lonely world, there must be someone for me, someone with arms to hold me tenderly. City streets I walk down alone now. Broken dreams I have for company. Quiet rooms that I spend my time in. Lonely world, is there no one for me?
Now, you're a teenager, and most teenagers, they don't want to hear about church.
No, they don't.
They want to have a good time and be kids. How is it that you're so into it, with the sparkle in your eye and the, and the laughter in your voice? What, your whole family? Is it from the family? Did you ever rebel against it?
Yes, I totally did.
Tell me about this
okay.
now. Let's go over this period.
That's why I'm not giving my last name.
Oh, you're wanted, huh?
No, see, when you grow up, you can live off of your parents' testimony and beliefs of the church just because they're your parents and they're raising you. But there's a time in your life that you just have to choose for yourself. And my brother rebelled and left, like, the church.
How old?
He started rebelling when he was, like, 16.
I ripped this sink out of the wall. Easy does it. Oop.
Did your parents let him go?
You know, he was just, it was little by little, and he was just doing what he wanted to do, and they tried to keep him from doing it, but there came a point where they were like, we can't do anything about this.
Because the harder they pushed,
the more he wanted to leave. He actually ended up moving to Hawaii. He actually ended up moving to Hawaii. And living there to get away from my parents.
Oh.
And then he missed us and came back.
Hold on a second.
Then last summer, I'd still been like rebelling and stuff. And it just like isn't good because when you rebel against what your parents tell you to do, all you're doing is lying. You're just lying all the time. About where you're going, what you're doing. And it's not a good feeling to have to live like...
Did you lie?
Yeah, I lied. A lot.
What were you doing?
Like,
just
I'd party with
around.
My friends, and I'd, like, just lie to my parents, because I'm not allowed to date until I'm 16. So, I was dating before I was 16, and they'd ask me if I was, and I'd lie to them, tell them no. Whatever. So that wasn't good at all. And then like it just stinks having to live different lives because you have no integrity if you have to, you know, run two separate lives, one that people can see at church and one that people can see at home. So then last summer, I was just like really doing what I was doing, and my dad was the missionary leader where the missionaries like he was just their leader in this area to help make sure they were doing what they were doing.
Watch your leads in that undergrowth.
I will, sir.
And we had these, like, certain missionaries over all the time. And they just, like, brought, like, a really good spirit into our house and it made it feel really good. And then they would, like, teach us a lot and stuff. And then I started to realize that I was being stupid. And I wanted to, like, not have to lie, and I wanted to be just as, like, wholesome as these two men in our house are. So, then I decided I was going to stop all the bad stuff I was doing. And then ever since then, that was like 7 months ago, and ever since then I've been like a completely different person. And it's so much better because then everybody knows you for the same person. You're not leading different lives.
One, two, three, four.
Some people, like, I mean, as bad as it sounds, I mean, I don't think that anybody has to rebel. But for some people, like, that's just my personality. I have to do things on my own and find out things on my own and learn the hard way. It's just like the
way
that
I am. Do you see your little brothers or sisters rebelling?
My sister, and it makes me so sad.
Is she the little black sheep of the family?
Yes, the next one, yeah. But, you know, parents can only do so much because they love us, but they can't force us to do stuff. So, yeah.
Do you think that the God of your understanding would care if you weren't a Mormon?
People are judged on their works and on their beliefs and their faith. And so if they have faith in a higher power, and if they have good works and don't just believe that they're saved through the atonement, that they actually are trying to be good people, then I just think you're gonna be great.
Is there a hell?
Yeah, I think so. People have to.
Can it be on Earth? Or it's even worse after you die?
I think it's even worse after you die.
What is it in your mind?
Well, in my mind, it's like...
Describe hell to me as you see it.
Okay. Like in our scriptures in the Book of Mormon, it describes it as like people who are just so... How do I explain it? They're absolutely sad.
Oh, wow, man.
It's not a happy place. And... It's not a happy place. And I don't believe that very many people stay in hell. I think...
Can you get out?
I think that you might have... Some people might have to spend time in there and then go out. But I don't think that they'd be allowed to go to heaven right after they go to hell. Because no one holds...
Purgatory.
What's that?
Purgatory and limbo.
I don't believe in limbo.
Whoa!
You know what limbo is?
Yeah, it's like the space between where it's like...
How low can you go? Set the limbo bar.
Yeah.
No, that's where babies go when they're not baptized, right?
Yeah.
What about purgatory? That's kind of like trial run hell. Or something. I don't know.
I don't know about that.
Oh, I'm scared of hell.
I don't think that you're going to go to hell, Clay. I think that...
Yeah, well...
Because you're a good person, and I don't see you killing people.
I've got a bad side.
That's okay. People have bad sides, but... I mean, the people that stay in hell are the people that kill people.
Describe heaven.
Heaven? Heaven? It's the best place that you can even imagine because you get to live with your family and...
Is it like Iowa?
What's Iowa? I mean... I've never been there.
A big TV show from the sky, from 20.
20,000 miles above the ground. We'll hear the news and views from all around. Way up high there'll be a big TV show from the sky. There isn't anything that's taking place. We won't be hearing out from outer space. A great event,
the president,
the crowning of a king. A scientist who heads the list will see most everything. Some fine day we'll see a big TV show from the sky. You know the telephone and radio can tell us all the things we want to know. A new invention receives attention, a deed that's noble. The news is global as every day goes by. Oh, a fun to go to a TV show, the big TV show from the sky.
Wait, I'm just going to pick it up. Oh, my. Oh. This is delicious.
It is perfect. No matter what you cook, you're going to get perfect results every single time.
I really enjoy the non-stick surface.
Tell me about your meds.
The medicine is for an unusual sleep disorder called REM sleep disorder that makes you act out your dreams. Unlike a normal person who kind of just experiences dreams while they're kind of paralyzed during sleep. So I got my medication after we came home.
I want to know the story of how you came to get this medicine.
I was bunking with my roommate at the time. We had bunk beds, and I had leapt out of the bed thinking that it was going to collapse on top of me because I was sleeping on the bottom bunk, and I screamed to my roommate who was sleeping, you know, get out, the bed's collapsing, and I was holding up the bed with all my strength.
Did he believe you?
Oh, he knew what was going on, so he's patient enough to bear with me until it just kind of wears off and I kind of gradually wake
up. Can someone wake you up when you're like that?
Not really.
Really?
No, they just gotta console you.
What if you dreamed that you were...
I'm afraid I might.
Like, you know, you're mad at someone and you dream.
I've read stories about people, like, waking up and choking their spouses, which is why I've never slept over at a woman's house.
Really?
Yeah. It used to bother my old girlfriend a lot. She didn't know why I wouldn't. All she knew was what I refused to sleep.
And you didn't tell her about your sleep
She knew
disorder.
About it, but she didn't know...
Well, I can't believe it, but the cassette just died in mid-sentence right there. I looked at it and the tape got turned around inside the housing and it just died. Listen to it.
All she knew was what I refused to
sleep. And you didn't tell her about your
She knew about it, but she didn't know.
It comes back again after a couple of minutes, so let me set up the story. He was sleepwalking, and he jumped through the window of his bedroom in his sleep, right through the glass. And then he woke up in his boxer shorts in the snow.
Aww.
Lying in a pile of my own blood and broken glass in my boxers.
Woke up.
Yeah.
And hit the ground?
Yeah. Basically, I woke up and there's glass around me, there's snow, I was bleeding a lot. I figured out that I leapt through my bedroom window over my TV set.
In the air? Airborne?
Yeah.
Through a wooden frame and everything?
Mm-hmm. Glass, the whole screen.
Did anyone hear it?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, the neighbors did. And because I would... In this state, I'm only half awake, and I didn't know what was going on. I kind of stumbled over there, and the guy was freaking out, the neighbor. And he's like, what the hell happened to you, man? I gotta call an ambulance. And I'm like, oh, no, it's all right, I'm fine. I didn't know what I looked like, but he's like, no, man, you are bleeding all over the place. What did you do? I think I told him that it jumped through my window, but he didn't believe me. It looked like it was in a fight, probably. And then I said, thanks for your help anyway. If I'm going to go
vote. Were you living alone at this time? Or
no, I was living with three roommates in college.
And they didn't wake up.
No, they didn't hear it. So the guy was going to call the ambulance, but I told him no. I tried to shake his hand. I said, thanks for your help. He said, no, what are you doing? But so I went in, and it must have looked really weird to my roommate who was watching TV and who had last seen me going to my bedroom
coming
sleeping.
Coming in the front door all bloody and in your underwear?
Yeah.
What did he say?
He's like, oh my God, what happened? And I said, I think I need to go to the hospital. And then I went into the bathroom, and I looked at myself, and my face was covered in blood. I had cuts up and down my body. I took a shower first, because I didn't really know the extent of my injuries. I really guess I didn't think it was too serious until I saw the cuts on my wrists, in which I have scars, actually.
Wow.
Right.
God, you could have killed yourself.
Actually, the doctor said I was lucky, because I did land on my neck. The doctor didn't believe me. The emergency room doctor didn't believe me. He thought I was just some drunk college kid who got into a fight.
Tried to make a story up.
Yeah. Well, that's a weird story to
pick.
Well,
then did the police get involved?
No.
That's amazing.
Yeah. But I had scars. Still have a scar on my forehead. And after that, I decided I should probably get some help with that.
I used to have limb movement in my sleep, but it hasn't happened since about 98.
Kids won't laugh at me no more. 1, 2, 3, 4.
College kid, to shift gears here. You're going to be a college kid.
Yeah.
Going to Utah next week.
I know.
How are you getting out? You driving?
We're driving. My brother's going to drive with me.
Your brother, not your mom and dad?
I wanted my mom to, but then when I realized that I have so much stuff that I want to take.
There's not room for your mom.
No, there isn't. And shipping it would be too expensive. So we're just taking a car in my
own. And have you been out to find an apartment?
No, we're just calling and we just ordered one. Like, you order a placement.
Oh, through the school?
Just through the apartment complex.
Yeah.
That works with the school.
You gotta be so excited.
I'm totally fine.
I can't believe how excited I'd be if I were you.
I'm very excited. I'm a little nervous to leave my friends because I have best friends.
I know. But you'll be all right. What's that noise?
Guitar. Dante.
Somebody's playing guitar.
Yeah.
No, that's wonderful. How do you picture it? What's going to happen? What's the first three nights? Don't say unpacking. Come
okay,
on.
No way. I don't unpack. Jared, my brother, he has a band, and it's called Forgotten Charity. You guys should all check it out. It's on MySpace. he has a band, and they want me to play keyboard in it. And last time when I visited them, they had a benefit concert for me.
You are a talented musician.
I'd like to play piano.
Come on, let's hear you play something. We'll close this. And you're going to join his band.
Yep.
In Utah.
Mm-hmm.
Mormon Rockers. Who's the most famous Mormon band? Isn't the Used from Utah?
One of the, I think the singer from the Used is Mormon. But let's see, Jewel, I thought used to be Mormon. That might be false. Don't
Jewel, she's from Alaska.
Yeah, that's awesome.
She's probably. There's a lot of Mormons out west.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who else is? Oh, I know Shadaisy. It's a country group.
Shadaisy.
They're Mormon.
Let's go in here. It's quiet.
Okay.
A lot of noise out here. All right. Melissa.
Yeah, this one is really good too.
Melissa is going to play a little something on the piano for us. Do you have any composition?
Do
you want to play one of your own?
Well,
or anything you want.
Okay, I just, like, I make up a lot of stuff from music that I already have, like, in front of me, if I don't really like it, I totally change it to make it my own thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So let me see.
What is it?
This song that I'm going to play? Let's see.
This piano costs $42,000.
Yeah, I love it. Okay.
Here's Melissa.
Let's see. Okay.
Is your mind just racing right now?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of all the songs that I could possibly play.
So stridently.
What is that?
There's no reticence to your approach.
Oh, no.
You're just digging right
yeah.
in.
Yep.
You're bold.
I love to.
Yeah, you'd like to.
Especially on these pianos, they're really good to just dig into.
Yeah, well, you're really good.
Thank you.
And good luck in Provo.
Thanks.
What do you want to say to everyone in New Jersey and New York?
Everybody, I just love everyone, and I'm so happy that...
I really love everyone.
Yeah, I really do.
Even bad people.
Well, they have to be loved, otherwise they might kill themselves, and I don't want them to. But I do, I'm just hope that everyone's having a happy week, and I hope that everybody just feels good about themselves, and it doesn't matter what religion you are, as long as you believe in something and do good, and just try to be the best person that you can be, it's okay, and you'll just do fine, just keep struggling along. Okay.
One last note. Pick a note. What's your favorite note?
Oh my goodness.
The 88.
This one. D. I just like it because it reminds me of...
Delightful.
Yeah, and it just reminds me of, like, the color green and Thursday, my favorite day of the week.
The D reminds you of green?
Yeah, isn't
Thursday?
It weird? I don't know why it does.
Wow. That must be a thought you cultivated in your rebellion period.
Bye.
Well, I have to say goodbye, too. My time is up tonight on The Dusty Show. This is Clay Pigeon. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. Thanks, too, again, for your pledges during last week's marathon. It was great to know that you're out there and that you enjoy the show and that you've lent your support. I do appreciate it. Thanks again. If you'd like to email me this week, dusty@wfmu.org. And if you'd like to call and leave a message we can play on the show, please do. It's 201-521-1375. Mike is next. Stick around for him. I'm out of here. I'll catch you next Monday night at 7 o'clock. This is Clay Pigeon for The Dusty Show saying take care. And always remember...